Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. If you're a mother this morning, and if you don't mind, just stand up for a moment if you don't mind, if you're a mother. This is good. Thank you very much. Thank you, mothers. I hope that you're honored today by your families. And I hope that you have a wonderful, blessed day today. Thank you very, very much for allowing me to come and to be with you on this Mother's Day. I'm very pleased and happy to have my own mother with me this morning. And over the past 18 years, my mom, she's to be with me on Mother's Day, she's had to travel. And so she traveled today to be with me, and I'm thankful for my mother to be here. And I'm thankful for my grandmother to be with her as well. And of course, my wife and my daughter and my father are with me. And I am so thankful for those three mothers, because not only have they molded who I am, but they keep me sustained, and they love me, and I love them, and I appreciate them more and more every day, as I know that you care for your mothers as well. You know, I'm from Florida. I grew up in Florida, but I married a Georgia girl, and so I took that Georgia girl to parts unknown, because I went into the military, and I took her everywhere I went. And she willingly went with me. I'm so thankful for that. But 1999, I came back to Georgia. I came to work for the Georgia Baptist Children's Homes in 1999. And we hadn't been, and of course, Julie hadn't been in Georgia in a very long time. And we were thrilled to be in Georgia. And so we thought, well, let's go ahead and let's go downtown. Let's go to Atlanta. And let's go to Underground Atlanta. And let's just kind of to hang out in Underground Atlanta and go see the Braves and just enjoy all those things. And so back then in 99, I don't know if you all, you know, there was this Priceline.com, and you could bid on a hotel room. And so I got on the computer and I bid, and I threw in, I mean, just an incredible low ball offer. And I think Julie thought we were going to stay in some kind of dive with the number of what I'd put. I think I put like $35 down on that. And she's like, you'll never get a decent hotel for $35. I got the Westin. And if you all don't know what the Westin is, it's this beautiful hotel downtown Atlanta. It's a cylindrical hotel. It's just almost a skyscraper, and it's got the mirrored windows and the rotating restaurant. We didn't quite make it up to that, but the rotating restaurant up top. And so we, here we go. We took our three kids, and our oldest at the time was in first grade. And so we got into this beautiful hotel, and we go into the lobby, and Julie goes, and she's getting us checked in, and my kids are kind of, we're just walking around this hotel lobby, and it's beautiful, and we're looking around, and my oldest son now, and was in the first grade, he grabbed me, and he looked at me, and he says, Dad, he says, we don't belong in a place like this. And he was so very, very, very right. We didn't belong in a, and we didn't belong, still don't belong in a place like that. But I love that story, and I know that my family, they've heard it many times, but I love that story because it does genuinely remind me of the fact that we don't belong in a place like this. We live in a sinful, fallen, evil world, and we don't belong here. But God created us. He placed us here, every single one of you. He placed us here for a purpose and with a plan. And I don't care this morning who you are. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. I don't care what you've done, what you haven't done. I don't care whether you were born wealthy, born poor. I don't care whether you're on top of the world right now and you feel like everything is going great. Or even if you're here this morning and it's like, man, I'm just getting by. I don't care where you fit in. God has a plan and a purpose for you. Every single one of you. He has a plan and a purpose for the almost 200 children that are in the care of the Georgia Baptist Children's Homes as well. He has a plan for all the children in our communities and in our surrounding areas. He has a plan for them. Don't be not mistaken. And by the way, don't think, oh, okay, well, yeah, Brian, I know all about that. There's a plan for me. And I'll get around to it. There's no getting around to it. He has a plan for you today. There is no turning that proverbial corner. Don't live life that way. Well, I will get serious about my commitment as soon as. I'll take care of my whatever I need to take care of as soon as. I got to get this done. It's today. Today may be that day. God has that plan and that purpose for you. There's something I want to talk specifically a little bit more about mothers this morning. You know, there's one constant throughout history, and it's that close relationship between mothers and their children. Though throughout different historical periods and circumstances, there's been different actions, there's been different motives, there's been different ways of loving. There's been, you know, this fight to protect and even try to control mothers' children. And we can see that throughout history. I think of a mother, her name is Monica. Monica prayed for her son, Augustine, prayed for his salvation. For years and years and years, she prayed for him. And she was just really begging him to just get involved and go to church. And so she even sailed from Africa to Italy to beg her son to attend church. This Augustine honored his mother's wishes, and he went to church, and he heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he was saved. Augustine of Hippo is now known by Christians the world over for standing against heresy in the 5th century and laying a foundation for the Protestant Reformation that took place 1,000 years later. Susanna Wesley was another Christian mother who back in the 1669 period, she would take care. She had 19 children. She had 19 children that she was taking care of. And her husband Samuel was often traveling and wasn't at home. And so she would painstakingly, every night, she would take one of her children. They would rotate each night. She would spend individual time with each one of her children. And she would have discussions with them. She'd have prayer time with them. She would read scripture with them. She wrote a curriculum for her children. And as you may know, one of her sons, John Wesley, led thousands to Christ and organized what is now known as the Methodist Church. Another son, Charles Wesley, wrote more than 6,000 hymns, including Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Oh for a Thousand Tongues to Sing and Rejoice, the Lord is King. Yet another mother, Anna Maria Moon, her husband died in 1852 of a heart attack, and he left Anna Marie with this large plantation in Virginia to manage and the care of her children. Anna sent her daughter, Lottie, to a school, a Baptist-affiliated school in Virginia. It was called the Virginia Female Institute, where Lottie became one of the first women in the South to earn a master's degree. And after Lottie earned that master's degree, she joined her sister in 1873 in China to minister in China. Today, we take up a Christmas offering called the Lottie Moon Christmas Offering. Every year, that offering generates approximately $165 million every year to support the International Mission Board. We have another mother that stands out to me when I was thinking about it. This mother, it's a little bit of a different mother in that this her name was Sojourner Truth. Sojourner Truth gave birth to her children while being held as a slave in New York. And though she gained her freedom in 1826, her five-year-old son, Peter, was sent to Alabama. He was sold to a plantation in Alabama. But his cell was illegal in the state of New York during that time. You weren't allowed to sell slaves outside of the state of New York. But they did this anyway, thinking nobody would care. Well, Sojourner, even though she was free at this time, she risked her own freedom. She risked her own safety. And she petitioned a grand jury in the state of New York for the return of her son. She worked and generated enough money to hire an attorney. And through all of her efforts, her child was returned to her in 1828. I also think of some biblical mothers that we all are aware of, Jochebed, who hid her son Moses and continued to care for him. I also think of the mother who went before Solomon, and instead of allowing her child to end in death, she was willing to give her child up just to save him. These are wonderful portraits of what motherhood is. But oftentimes, you know, I think about Sojourner Truth. I think about Peter. I think about this young man who, after being separated from his mother, was able to come back home. But then I think about the thousands and thousands of other children in our world, in our country, and even in our state who don't get to go back home. They never get that opportunity. They are placed elsewhere and never get that loving embrace, the love and the compassion and the care that can only come from their mother. You see, in the United States of America, and I hate to bring this in, but I want to share this with you. Here in the United States of America, there's 3.2 million children reported as abused and neglected every single year. Wrap your mind around that 3.2 million children in the United States of America every 12 months reported as abused and neglected. When I came here in 1999, here in the state of Georgia, every 30 minutes a child is reported as abused and neglected. Today I stand before you and I must tell you that statistic changed. It's every 15 minutes a child is reported as abused and neglected. Here in the United States of America, undisputedly, in my mind anyway, the greatest country in the world, we're advanced in every way, but yet we abuse and neglect 3.2 million every year. And you know what the most disturbing thing about those numbers I just shared with you are? I said reported. That's what we know. What scares me is what we don't know. And we think a lot, my wife and I talk about it a lot, at work we talk about it a lot. How do we get there? How do we get to that place in this country? And I don't have a good answer. I don't have a good answer other than, again, we live in a sinful, fallen, evil world, and there is an evil one who is seeking to destroy us, and he is after our children. And this world is selling us a bill of goods that is deceitful, dishonest, and absolutely untrue. And we're not immune from it. Because when I talk about these things, often I'm not just talking about issues, you know, it's like everybody outside of this building. We all have issues in regard to buying in what this world's trying to sell us. Again, we were created for His purpose. But yet oftentimes we live life by serving others' purpose and forgetting exactly what it is that God brought us to do. God brought us here to be and to build disciples. That's what he brought us here to do. That's what our goal is. That's what we should be doing. And if that's important to us, we're going to live that way so our children see that and they will live that way. But it's hard. It's hard. I think back, I have my youngest, I have three children. I have a 24-year-old, my beautiful daughter's 21 years old, and I have my youngest son who's 18. He graduates from high school next year. And, you know, I think about all the missed opportunities. Here's the other thing I love about this time of year, of course, too. I get to hear a lot of parents, a lot of great, proud parents, talking about their upcoming graduates, and they're going to go here, and they're going to do this, and they've done that. And those are wonderful things. But parents, let me ask you this. Is your child ready? Have you prepared them for the most important thing in their lives when they leave your homes? Are they going to be able to take the gospel of Jesus Christ, and are they going to be able to share it in word and in deed when they leave your home? For that is the most important thing. It's great to be an honor graduate. I love it. But are you ready to share the love of your God with everyone around you? Are you ready to do what God created you to do? Are you ready to be what God created you to be? Are we ready? Have we trained them? Have we prepared? And it's hard because when I ask that question, I answer it back. Oftentimes I did not. It's easy because we don't have our priorities set the right way oftentimes, and it's easy to get that way. And I'm reminded of a scripture in the Gospel of Mark in chapter 10. This is a familiar story in Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 13. It's a story about how priorities, even by the best of individuals, gets misplaced. In Mark chapter 10, verse 13, it says, "And they were bringing children to him, and him was being Jesus, so that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant, and he said to them, 'Permit the children to come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all.'" And here's a great verse. Verse 16, underline it if you haven't. "And he took them in his arms and began blessing them, laying his hands on them." Now listen, I love this story because it's just so visual to me, because I can actually see this scene playing out in my mind. And first of all, I just want to say the disciples were great guys. They were wonderful people. I mean, can you imagine what it was like being a disciple? I can't. I can't imagine what it was like being with God in human form. Casting out demons, healing the sick, feeding thousands. The power that just was Jesus had to have been almost intoxicating to some degree. How wonderful could that have been? And these were normal guys. They were fishing one day, and the next thing, Jesus came and says, "Look, drop your nets and come follow me." And of course, they did what we all would do, is they said, "Well, wait a minute, let me check my calendar. Let me check and see. I got to see if I got some days coming up. Let me see if I can maybe, shove some time off. Let me see how much is in my bank account, if I can afford to do this or not." No, they didn't do that. No, they dropped their nets and they followed him. Oftentimes we find ourselves dragging our nets everywhere we go, thinking we can't drop our nets, but we can. But these are great guys. They dropped those nets and they followed Jesus. But now understand this too, though. They were human. They thought that they were on the ground floor of this massive, incredible, powerful earthly kingdom. They were at the forefront of it. And they were even a few pages back, if you'll go back. They were fussing. You remember? They were eating and they were fussing about who was going to sit where, and the favor that one of them would have over there. And Julie and I were talking about James and John. We were talking about this the other day. James and John's mom even went to Jesus and was trying to jockey a good position for her two boys. This is what they were thinking, though. And they really thought they had hooked their wagon to a rock star, and they were just going to just go to the top. And so in this story, I can just see the disciples sitting there and just talking with one another and thinking about some of the things and talking about some of the things that they've already witnessed and experienced, and talking about what are we going to do next and what do you think he's going to do next. And they may have even been thinking logistically, are we going to travel somewhere? How are we going to travel? Obviously crowd control was an issue. How are we going to handle that? And so they're thinking about all these wonderful things, probably still fussing with one another about who's the best. And so then all of a sudden somebody brings in all these little kids. All these little kids that they probably are a little bit smelly, they're loud, they're obnoxious, they're complaining, they're, just all the, anybody here done Vacation Bible School? If you've done Vacation Bible School, you can get the picture. And so they're bringing the VBS kids in to see Jesus. And so when the disciples saw this, they're like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Hang on. We've got more important things to do. Do you see how easy it is, even for the best of us? I've done it. It's easy, particularly when we're so caught up in us and who we are and what we want, what we think. So easy to be there. Obviously, with these disciples, as good as they were, children were not their priority. They were not their priority. But when Jesus saw, when he saw what was going on, he was indignant. I don't know what your version says of your Bible. Mine says it was indignant. And I love that word indignant, because I'm probably, for all of you who can be indignant, I'm your king. I can be as indignant. I can put down some indignation. I can't believe they would do that. I can't believe that happened. I can't believe somebody would allow that to happen. I hope you're sitting out there in indignation saying, how in the world do we abuse and neglect 3.2 million of our children in this country? How in the state of in Georgia, how is 15, every 15, I hope you're indignant about that. But indignation is somewhat lost without action, isn't it? And that's really where we fall down, I feel. Let's just be honest with one another, Christian brothers and sisters. Sometimes that's where it ends. It begins and ends with indignation. But Jesus, though, he could have, if anybody had the authority and the ability to be indignant and give direction, it was him. He could have been indignant and then said, disciples, listen, get busy. Take care of these kids. I want you to feed them. I want you to get them some new clothes. I want you to bandage that knee that's scraped up. I want you to play with them. I want you to do all these things. Get it done, gentlemen. Get it done. But he didn't do that, did he? He didn't do it. In verse 16, not only did he says in verse 16, this is why I left verse 16, he did it. He took them in his arms and began blessing them, laying his hands on them. Jesus' example, his action steps that he provides for us in everything, he showed us exactly what to do, as he always does. I get so frustrated with myself sometimes when I sit around thinking, what is it I should be doing? How should I handle this? How should I handle that? When Jesus showed me exactly. He didn't just tell me either. He showed us in His Word what to do. And He absolutely showed us exactly where our children fit in our priorities. And I'm so thankful for His example to us. And I'm so very thankful to you as a body of believers who have partnered with the Georgia Baptist Children's Homes for so many years to be able to make children a priority. This is not a, you know, I love a, one of our ex-president CEOs of our agency said one time, and it has always stuck to me, he said, listen, he said, you know, the churches, we're just an extension of the church. We're not an entity all of our own. We're an extension of you. What a wonderful opportunity it has been to share and to serve alongside with you, to serve with kids like little Billy who found himself home alone. He had a mother who loved him. He did. I believe she loved him, but she loved drugs and alcohol more. And he found himself home alone for over a week. And then the only way they found out about it is he went to the neighbor's house for food. And his mom cared. His mom cared because she got dried out. She went to rehab. She did all the things that she was told to do to be able to get her son back. And by the way, Billy, when he was taken into care, he was brought to the Georgia Baptist Children's Home. And he was with us probably about a year. And so the court said, you know, mom did what she was supposed to do so Billy can go home. Billy wasn't home a few months and mom went out again. This time, Billy was really afraid because he knew what had happened last time, so he chose not to go to the neighbor's house to get something to eat. Nearly starved himself to death. Wasn't going to, reason he didn't know that, or anyone knew this was happening was because he wasn't going to school. And so they picked Billy back up and they took him to into protective custody, and the courts talked to him and said, Billy, what do you want to do? What would you like to see happen in your life? And he said, I want to go back and live with Mr. Steve and Debbie because I know they love me. He knew that they loved him. Not because of just words, not just because what was said, but because of the action, the deeds, the things that were provided to him by them. They felt that. We've worked with young men with the Department of Juvenile Justice. Thank you for allowing us to work with these young men. These young men show up to our campuses. I was in Baxley, and though I wasn't in the room, we would have young men from the Department of Juvenile Justice come, and they would literally be in orange jumpsuits, and they'd have chains on their hands, chains on their feet, and they would do the shuffle into our offices. And I got to hear, although I wasn't in the room, I was down the hall, but as we were doing the admission process, I could hear chains hit the ground. And I got to where I knew it was coming. And I would smile. I would smile not because it meant freedom, but because it meant opportunity. It meant opportunity for these young men to hear, to see, to experience something they had never experienced before in their lives. They were able to hear and experience and see that true forgiveness comes from only one place, and that's Jesus Christ. They experienced that forgiveness can only come from one place, and that's Jesus Christ. Thank you for being a part of us working with these young men. Thank you for allowing us to work with developmentally disabled children in Camp Hawkins and Matthews Times. Thank you for the opportunity to work, to serve and to provide for their families. We have counseling centers where we're able to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. And get this, we go to people's homes and we're able to share the love of Christ in people's homes through counseling ministries. We're able to do that because these are families who wouldn't come through the doors of this church for one reason or another. They're not doing it. But we're able to go to them. What a wonderful opportunity it is. Thank you for being able, our foster care ministry. We want to grow our foster care ministry. You may be out there and you may be saying, you know what? I've loved supporting the Georgia Baptist Children's Home. I love it. But you know what? I think I want to take a step further. Maybe you're being called to care directly for a child in need, for a child who doesn't ever get to go home. But maybe for a period of time they can be at your home. And maybe you're not ready for that. Maybe you just want to say, yeah, but I'm not ready for that, but I sure want to support those who are doing that. And we can connect you with that too. I thank you so much again for the opportunity to do those ministries, to be able to serve 1,100 children and families in this past year, to be able to work with approximately 200 children in care right now. Thank you for that. I just want to close with this. I would like to say this. And first of all, let me one last word before I close with this. Fathers, it's Mother's Day. Fathers, let me say this to you. It's not Father's Day, but you need to hear this today. The most important thing that a father can do for his children is to love their mother. Fathers, love your children's mothers. Show them how to love. Dads, we can do that. We need to be deliberate about doing that. Show them that. Someone said this, I don't know who said this. It said, mothers write on the hearts of their children what the rough hand of the world cannot erase. Christian mothers, your most vital task is passing the faith on, the faith of Jesus on, not only by what you say, but by who you are. Our actions have to reflect our beliefs. Our prayer this morning for our mothers is that you be the kind of woman who takes your task so serious that it's like what the writer of Proverbs, in Proverbs 31, it says, her children rise up and call her blessed. And a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. It's truly, it was through a woman that God chose to shape us, gave us form and substance of life. And I close with this and in a prayer. Please don't let the modern mindset rob you of the blessing of raising your children the way God intended. Let's pray. Father, I love you so much, and I just thank you so much for the mothers that have so shaped me and influenced my life. I thank you for the mothers throughout history that has shaped and molded the life of others. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be able to today, without shame, without hesitation, without fear, without any of those things, that we can pronounce your word openly. And Father, I pray that we can take that and we can go outside of these walls, Father, and proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. Father, we just ask for forgiveness and so many blessings on the mothers and their families here today. These things we ask in your precious and your holy name. Amen.